Hey guys, it's Colin here with Name Redacted Podcast. Basically, this episode is just wrapping up HeroesCon 2014, what we didn't cover in the last wrap-up episode, and what we didn't cover with Mike Watkins. So yeah, basically sit back, enjoy, and learn why I wasn't there on day three.
Have some fun.
Dicks. Giant dick butts.
Wait, who's
Jacques.
Jacques
in Sweden.
Jacques in Sweden. Is Jacques in Sweden doing our soft open?
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
Cool. So this
that's not how soft open works. We talk about things.
I know, but then he's going to come back. We're going to get Jacques to do our soft open.
So when are we getting that check from USA?
Dude, I hope soon because I do constantly plug USA shows. I'm like, oh, watch Suits and Psych and fucking White Collar.
I saw a Suits commercial today and I was just like, oh, God.
Dude, Suits... Suits, the guys from the show are actually do a goddamn Time Warner cable commercial.
That's the one I saw.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, we're actually not going to get a check from USA. We're going to get a check from, like, IMS addressed to USA that's just endorsed.
Yeah. Here you go, guys. Appreciate it. So, today is a wrap-up of the con.
That's really good.
That we went to.
Homer is reading cue cards right now.
I didn't look at it. I was
scanning the whiteboard in my living room.
The whiteboard.
We actually we stepped up our game a little bit,
and we now have a storyboarded version of our podcast.
Yeah. Guys, they can't see it. It's obviously a teleprompter.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a guy with cue cards and a teleprompter, and we have like five or six cameras and boom mics.
It's like, why? You know he'll say anything you put on there.
Go fuck yourself,
this,
San Diego.
This was all included when I bought this condo.
Perfect.
All this stuff, yeah, we don't have to worry about it.
But they're also union, so...
We're so in debt right now, they're in so much overtime.
This is bad.
The teams, we're going to hear from the teams.
Jeff hasn't even heard that yet.
It's 11:30.
We,
I made a joke about how we can't fire you because you're union.
Yeah.
Damn right.
He's the boss. He's the Jimmy Hoffa of the podcast union.
Yeah, I was talking to Emily the other day. Was it? God, that might have been today, dude. My week has been nuts. But we were talking about how funny it is, like the difference between what a producer does, like in Hollywood, compared to what a producer does, like on a podcast.
Yeah.
In Hollywood, the producer does ...
Whatever.
Yeah. It's a little different, but yeah. So we this is the week after week and a half.
A week?
2 weeks.
Whatever. Everything's run the fucking
yeah,
together.
It's within,
week and a half. Week
it's a week and a half after our journey out to Charlotte.
Yeah, because we left 2 weeks ago tomorrow.
Yes. So we, you guys have probably heard the wrap-up of day one of our Friday when we were all a little sleep drunk and a little bit regular drunk.
Well, two locos were.
Two locos drunk. by the end of the night, it was about six or seven locos deep. But we are going to do a full wrap-up of all the things we did at HeroesCon 2014 in Charlotte, North Carolina.
At the Charlotte Convention Center.
Yes.
I would give the address, but...
I don't know it.
But they're not paying us.
Yeah.
So.
Yet.
Next year, hopefully. So we'll just go ahead and break right into it. Do we want to do anything about day one, or did we kind of cover it enough?
I think we covered day one.
We didn't
do everything.
We didn't talk about the Matt Fraction incident.
Yeah, we...
Oh, man.
Yeah, the Matt Fraction incident.
Okay, we alluded to this. We alluded to...
Did we talk about it on the... On
no, because you said we needed to do a full episode about how badly I embarrassed myself. And Chris said, no, it was like a minute real time, so there's not enough there. But it is
it
a good story.
It felt like a full episode.
It felt like an hour.
Dude, to me, it felt like a solid year. Like... And every once in a while, I'll be driving in my car and I'll think about what I did and it'll make me uncomfortable.
Jeff, have you heard this yet?
No, I'm not.
It's like you're just riding in your car. God damn it!
I haven't heard many of the stories.
Okay, so we are in the Image Writers panel on Friday.
Great panel.
Great panel.
Great panel.
So it's Matt Fraction is there and so is his wife.
Maybe wife. Not real sure.
I think they're married. But, because they have...
Romantically linked one way or
the other. They have a child, I know that.
They could be estranged.
Whatever, still.
Anyways.
What is her name again? Kelly Sue. Kelly Sue, yeah.
I'll get a full...
I honestly don't remember the other two guys' names. I'm sorry. I just don't.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the one guy was there and his book wasn't even out yet, right?
Yeah, one guy was there and his book wasn't even published yet. And then the other guy...
And he
guy,
was talking... It was... Oh, God, I'm foot in mouth. I'm
he
not
was,
gonna say what I was going to say.
And then another guy who did Mice Templar, which is a basically... it's to me, it's Mouse Guard in like...
During the Crusades.
During the Crusades.
It's another interpretation of Don Quixote.
Yeah. So basically what happened was they got to the question and answer portion of the panel where they asked the audience to ask questions. And a few people had gone, and I turned to Colin, and I was like, should I do the thing we always do, which is we ask our guests what beer they like. We always do that. That's just a thing we do. And Colin goes, yeah, dude, like, they can't all be sober. And so I'm like, all right, cool. Chris apparently is deaf in his left ear.
Not anymore.
Not then, or not now, but then he was deaf in his left ear.
Over the ear infection from hell.
And did not hear me ask the question. So I raise my hand, and I'm like, hey, what kind of beer do you guys like? And a couple people laughed, and then I go, no, like, it's a serious question.
And the whole room went silent.
And the whole room went dead silent.
You could literally watch people from across... this. It's one of the larger panel halls.
Yeah, it was big.
You could watch people just kind of do this. You
just
see who
just
asked
like
the question.
Straighten their backs up to see who asked this question. And Kelly Sue goes...
After about 30 seconds of silence...
Because the guys that are running the panel are like, they look over and they're like, you guys have an answer to this? And then Kelly Sue, this is actually making me uncomfortable talking about it. Kelly Sue goes, I can't drink because if I do, they'll take my chips back. I've been sober for 14
years.
And like, everybody claps and I clap too. I'm like, awesome.
Yeah,
and then Matt Fraction goes, I'm sober too. And then, on the other side, the dude whose book isn't out yet goes, I don't really drink.
He said, I've never really
drank. He's like, I've never really been a big drinker. And then the fourth guy, just to stick it to me, goes, I'm a wine snob. And I just, and like, my fucking brain and heart sink into my fucking rectum.
And I just look at Alex and I'm just like...
And the only reason I actually went through
the
question...
I have never tried to bamf out of a room... so hard.
Ooh. Dude, and like, and the guys in front of us were like, oh, you guys do brew stuff? They were stoked. The two
but
dudes
as soon as,
in front
as, soon
of
as
us,
Palmer asked it, the one guy turned around and was like, I think they're all sober.
I didn't know. And I wouldn't even have asked the question if Colin hadn't said,
they can't all be sober.
Well, and if I had heard it, because the other thing that makes it worse is that Kelly Sue, at the end, like, all of her books, writes this, like, huge, like, you know, page-long thing about how it relates to her life and everything, and,
yeah,
like, her and Matt Fraction are both incredibly outspoken about the fact that, like, you can be completely sober, not, you know, not drink, not do drugs, not smoke, and still do what we do. And it's like a huge platform for them. And then...
I mean, that's one of the big things in sex criminals.
Yeah.
If you've told me correctly.
Well, it's allegorically.
Yeah.
But, and so then Fulmer is asking this question to...
to people who are notoriously sober.
In front of a room full of people who...
worship.
Who
worship these two people.
Yeah.
And... like, afterwards, I ran up, and I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I did not, like, and she was like, babe, oh my God, do not worry about it, I'm not embarrassed, I really hope I didn't embarrass you with my answer, like, I did not mean to do that, like, if that, like, in all honesty, I love drinking, I just can't do it anymore, like, and, you know, if I was embarrassed about it, I would just lied and been like, ah, Stella. Like, you know, and...
She also did add, like, when she was saying that, like, apparently there's a beer based around, like, one of her books.
Yeah.
She kind of told a little story about that. So it wasn't completely awkward, but
yeah,
it was still...
But she was super nice about it, and it made me feel way better.
And Fraction was really cool about it.
Fraction was cool about it in a very Fraction way.
Yeah.
Which was more or less like, I'm going to take this opportunity to kind of make you feel a little worse. Like... because the way he said it, he was like, this is more awkward for people who do drink. And he just kind of looked at me. And like, and I was like, and the funny thing is, I'm like, out of all of my friends, I have like 2 beers a month.
Plus, like, Alex did go down the rabbit hole of like apologizing profusely to the point where we're just like, Alex.
Yeah, I couldn't.
Alex.
Stop apologizing.
I couldn't wrap my head around it.
I totally get it though, man. I totally get it.
I was also like, I was on no sleep. So I, like, my brain was just like, all right, target locked on, keep doing it.
You wanted to go home.
I did. At that point in time,
you
I
wanted
was
to
like
get in the car and drive 2 hours.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to Winston and just sleep for the next 2 days.
Fuck the $40 that he spent. Fuck the $80 that I spent on Chris and I. Let's just go home.
Like, I was done at that point. And then, like, but everything got better after that.
Yeah, we'd been there for like 4 hours.
So, listeners, for you, that is your story of how Alex embarrassed the shit out of himself in front of a few very famous people and a room full of about 200 others.
We didn't think, and we did not take that opportunity to go, hey, Kelly Sue, Matt Fraction, check out our podcast. It's called No. Hey, Redacted Podcast.
I mean, no, I did tell them, I did tell Kelly, I was like, look, we do a podcast, that's one of our go-to questions. Because, and I was like, three of the four people that run our podcast run a brewery. Yeah. I just happen to be the one guy that isn't part of that, but I was like, but I do it for them. Because it's their thing, and so if they're not going to ask the question, I do.
And Matt Fraction complimented my Winston-Salem shirt.
Yes, he did, because he went to School of
the
Arts.
He was like, I was wearing my Winston-Salem Black Flag logo.
And then I subsequently compl-assaulted him.
Compl-assault, yeah. The compl-assault was perfect. And we actually talked about that on the...
Jeff, just to inform you, I walked up to Matt Fraction, and I was like, hey, man, my girlfriend fucking loves you. She's going to be so jealous when she sees a picture of us.
And then Matt turns and, like, fuck? He kind of, like, awkwardly stares at Chris, and Chris goes, oh no, I love you too. She just loves you more.
And, and the picture they took, Fraction's almost kind of like, he's doing this with his eyes.
Yeah, like, he's doing the, like, double hand raise, I don't know what the fuck's going on, but it's all in his face.
Actually, this is while Fulmer is still just profusely apologizing off in the background.
Guys, I want to go home now. But yeah, so there's your embarrassing story for me. I'll never ask that question again. It'll never happen. So
let's talk about the best panel that I have personally been to.
I think so too.
Yeah, best panel.
Even
beats the panels we ran.
Yeah.
Well, it's because we suck.
Well,
it was because you weren't there, and you're the backbone, the glue.
He was sleep drunk. I was technically moderating, and Alex was just like, tell me what your favorite shade of pink is.
Yeah, like, it
wasn't that at all, but...
In spirit, it was that,
yeah.
Though.
I mean, I'm glad that we sat down for that. The Archie... I mean, just, let's go. It was the Archie panel. It was the Archie Comics panel.
It was a two-part. The first part was like, Archie,
Afterlife,
like, Riverdale universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the second half was the licensed properties.
And a little bit of Red, what is it, Red Dot?
Yeah, but that's still Riverdale
universe. That's still Riverdale universe.
Which is also interesting because that means there's superheroes in the same universe as Afterlife.
Ooh.
Yeah, if they choose to bring that in. I mean...
I doubt they will, but...
I mean, the Punisher did show up in Riverdale one time. They talked about that.
Yeah, it's funny because we were talking on We Might Be Nerds, and we thought it's funny because... That means that, like, what if they bring Scooby-Doo in? Because Scooby-Doo's in the same universe as Archie, because they had that crossover episode with Josie and the Pussycats.
Yes, they did.
Like, how cool would that be?
So, basically what it was the PR director for Archie Comics,
it's
a
like,
producer?
He was a creative director?
No, editor. There was an editor.
He was the executive editor, not the EIC, but the executive.
And he was young for that job.
Yeah.
He was real, like, yeah. I'd say, like, late 20s.
I would put him
maybe early
30s.
Dude,
30s.
That guy was...
And he was really well put together.
He was a little
awesome.
Stiff in the Archie panel, but in the Sonic panel,
point,
he was
dude.
Fucking amazing.
And I think the PR guy was there solely
to keep
to
that
make sure that guy didn't say anything.
Because his demeanor totally switched in the next one. But anyway, the Archie panel, also, the artist... For Afterlife with Archie, which, as you guys know, if you've listened to the podcast, I cream over this thing all the time.
It was our Archie Comics check.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's just, I like to endorse things that...
No, because the way they were talking, if we got a check from Archie Comics, there would be no more Mega Man comics.
Yeah. But anyway, another person who was there for the Archie one was Franco Francavilla.
Francavilla.
That's a really hard... It's Frank Frank.
It did.
His name is Frank Frank.
This is the second week in a row I've had to say his name.
And I can't do it. It's hard because I just forget which version of Frank Frank am I saying.
Who else is there? Somebody, I don't remember who that person was.
Yeah.
That was the three for that panel.
That was the three for the panel, and then the guy hosting it.
Yes. Who was way too obsessed with Archie Digest.
Way.
Like, there was a certain point where I wanted to be like, you're cool.
But I want to hear
you let them
talk.
Yeah. Like, I understand you're a fan too, but if you want a Q&A with us, come to the audience, bro.
Yeah. So it was really cool because, like, immediately the PR guy and Francesco.
Francisco.
I thought it was Francesco. Whatever.
Frank.
The artist.
Frank's good.
They saw me, like, as they started, as soon as they mentioned Afterlife, I, like, leaned forward in my seat.
I was witness to this, so you don't get to tell it.
Okay.
He literally happy dog butt wiggled in his seat. Like, you could almost, like, see if there was had been a vestigial tail, it would have been wagging. Yeah. Like, it was the most precious thing I'd seen.
It is, in my opinion, one of the best comics that's come out in a long time, and also
I'm hearing
it's one of my favorites.
I'm hearing, like, it's being called one of the best horror comics in decades.
And so, you know, like, both the PR guy and the artist both saw me do that, and they kept, like, eye glancing back at me to see my reaction to what they were saying about the book. And the one thing that really, I think, got them was when they said that, like, reading that comic, a lot of people talk about how it's, like, almost made them cry. And I was just like, dude, yeah. And I just started, like, nodding my head, and I was like, yeah. And they pointed at me, and they were like, that guy knows.
There were a couple times where, like, issue 5, right? And
yeah,
just asked him questions like that.
They were like, you were in issue 4. I was like, the dog thing? Yeah, totally, dude. Like, I just... And it was just really fun because they got to talk about, like, how Archie has updated over the, you know, over the course of its life from the 50s, and how it's brought in things like Josie and the Pussycats, and it brought in, you know, Sabrina the Teenage Witch are both things from that universe. And they were talking about how it's evolved, like, also culturally, how they have characters that are gay now and like, part of the gay and lesbian community. And they talk about a whole lot of the way that Archie has evolved.
What I thought was really interesting is, like, not to switch gears too much in terms of, but, like, what they're doing with life with Archie and how they're going to end it.
They said, and this was the quote that I think it was the PR guy said this, he was like, we just thought it was fitting that a comic called Life with Archie ends with Archie dying. Like, that just makes sense. Like, the death of Archie is the end of Life with Archie.
You know what else is actually interesting that I brought up on the other podcast last week? Is that Life with Archie now is, in fact, a what-if story.
Yeah.
It's actual parallel canon for Life with Archie
is Afterlife.
Is Afterlife with Archie.
The parallel, and, like, is their canon. I just realized that Life with Archie is parallel universes.
Yeah.
Like, it tells two different stories. I'm telling this to the podcast and partially to Jeff. There's an Archie marries Betty and an Archie marries Veronica, and then Life with Archie picks up from that and assumes it tells you both sides of the story, like what would happen. And he dies in both universes, and that's going to be their...
The culmination.
That's going to be their loop close, is that.
There's
I was like, that's really fucking metaphysical for Archie.
After this, since we're kind of trying to wrap up the whole thing, just one more thing that they talked about. They're coming out with a 1950s version of the Sabrina horror comic.
They looked really excited when I asked about that.
Yeah, and...
Did you see the cover for issue 6?
Huh?
Did you see the cover for issue 6?
Sabrina variant?
Yeah. With the fucking tentacles and shit? Yeah, absolutely.
And I love that Afterlife is moving away from zombies. They're like,
they said it is a magic thing. Like, that's what it is. It's more than just zombies.
Well, it says it's a horror comic to the core. Like, it's not just
zombies. Like, bring on, like, H.P. Lovecraft, Eldritchian fucking horror.
And that's the thing, is that, like, Chris knows this because he read it, and I told Colin. It starts with Sabrina. The whole Afterlife, it starts with Sabrina.
But the Sabrina comic they're about to release is not canon outside Afterlife. Starts in the 1950s. And it's apparently it's going to be dark.
Yeah, so we're all really excited.
That's true, because I was actually going to say it could become canon, but it can't become canon, because in Afterlife with Archie, she was born at the same time
as Archie. Yeah. So also, another thing, right before we move on, these guys, in terms of one of the reasons I think it was the best panel we went to, these guys answered questions well.
Even
really,
questions
really well.
They couldn't answer.
Even questions they weren't allowed to answer because PR guy was like, no, No.
They were real comfortable, but the guy was like, just hang out and see what happens. Yeah. Or he'd do the like, we can't
that guy
talk
was a,
about that right now.
He
wink,
was the
wink,
perfect.
Nudge.
Yeah, he's the perfect PR guy. He knew his job really well. That's like, good. He was really good at it. So
there's also only like 30 people. You know,
yeah, very small. And
which
most
I was
people
really
found
surprised.
Out. Most people found out, like, oh, this isn't the Sonic panel. Whatever.
And they came back and.
Like moving. That's a good segue. Into
moving
the,
on to the Sonic.
Yeah. Moving into the Sonic panel, which was right afterwards.
Sonic Mega Man was right afterwards. We went to smoke and then we came back.
Which I had the tail wag moment because
yep.
I'm like the biggest Mega Man nerd in the fucking world.
I sit there and ask Chris, like, what's happening? He's like, we see in the comics they're up to like Mega Man 3, but I'm like. What?
Chris is talking about continuity issues and shit, and we're just sitting there going, yeah, he's got a blue suit. Like,
the kid was like, I know this is going to be a really controversial question, and Alex asked Chris, like, what's so fucking controversial?
So
yeah,
the question the kid asked is well, they just did a, I've been reading, Sonic is one of the comics I've been reading since before I could read, and like I told you guys at the con, like, I actually, like, never realized it prior to that, but going back in my head through all of the, like, art I did as a kid,
yeah.
Drew Mega Man and Sonic more than anything else, which I should tell Mike, he might appreciate that.
He probably would.
But especially because he probably fucking drew this.
He probably, yeah. Well, he's a little older than us.
No, I know.
Oh, you mean
so
he drew the ones you drew? Yeah, okay.
Dude, how, anyway.
You just fanboyed a little more than you thought you were.
No, I know, yeah. But so, the guy, they just did a reboot in Sonic. They just did, like, a universe reboot. And
mm-hmm.
the kid said, hey, I know this is kind of a controversial question, but, like, is basically, to sum it up, he asked it in the most weird roundabout way ever. Basically, are we going to see a place where the old continuity kind of affects the new continuity, or is there somehow going to be a bridge?
He said that there was one character that showed up from old continuity, and are there going to be any more?
Right, yeah. And so the guy basically answered with, like, it's not, we're not planning it, we'll see what happens. But Fulmer, like...
The kid was so uncomfortable with asking the question. Like, I thought he was going to be like, so do you guys just, like, get naked butt-fuck in front of, like... I thought he was going to ask, like, a really... Like, because he said he was so uncomfortable with the question that he was about to ask that I thought it was going to be, like, legitimately controversial. Like, do you think that, like, George Bush knocked down the towers? Like that. Like...
Why is his suit blue?
Yeah.
Well, and the thing you have to understand is this is... I figured out why people get bored when I talk about Mega Man. Because the questions these guys were asking and the issues they were addressing were like, on the fourth panel of the fifth issue of... Or on the fourth panel of the fifth page of issue 127, Mega
yeah.
Man's Buster is on his left arm. Now, are you hinting towards something that's going to happen in the future, or is that just an error? Did the picture get flipped?
It's like, these guys were being so nitpicky.
And, like,
the
creators, like, the creators, I don't think exactly were ready for that level of, like, you know, saying...
they
which
were
not
ready
make,
for that neck
I'm not here. Trying to make fun of these guys because we're all that way about certain things. And I will never alienate any sort of nerd, but it is sort of that way.
And believe me, I'm also, as you guys found out, very much that guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Why is the illustration of him holding a gun on the console version?
Yeah.
It's sort of like, you know, and then the creators would answer, like, no, we just flipped the panel.
Yeah, it was
like,
an accident,
it
man.
Was just an accident. But thank you for your question.
Yeah. So, but the stuff to do with Mega Man X is really cool. And I think what was also cool is that the same guys that locked on to Fulmer being the Archie guy kind of very quickly locked on to, like, me being, like, the Mega Man guy who's not going to ask these ridiculous continuity
questions.
You
had a really good question about X.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is because the Mega Man X story, even in the video games, is based on Philip K. Dick's work in Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, and then later on with Blade Runner. And so I got to ask the he's a writer and an illustrator.
He's the writer.
Yeah, and he's, like, the continuity dude, too.
Of both franchises.
Yeah, and I got to ask him, like, hey, is that something you guys want to explore? And he's like, yeah, dude, I'm super excited to be able to explore the human element. And he lit up when I asked the question.
Yeah.
It was really cool because, A, he was stoked about what I was asking. B, he gave me the answer that I wanted.
Yeah.
Like, it was exactly like, oh, man, I hope this is what he says. And then that's exactly what he said, you know?
Which has to be, that's a fan's, like, dream.
Yeah.
To be able to ask a question, not only get a good response from it, but get the fucking response you want.
Yeah.
Like,
for your question to be appreciated. You know, and then, because I asked her a pretty good question, too. I asked, like, you know, these being licensed IPs, do you ever have a, you know, a relationship with Sega or Capcom where you want to do something with their character, and they just flat out say no, or anything like that, and, you know, they were like, I was more interested, we were all more interested in the process.
Yeah. The only thing, a couple things real quick.
You asked a good question about the cosplay thing.
That's actually,
A couple of things real quick was that, A, he did answer your question very, like, politically correct, but in a way that I felt was true, kind of like, no, that doesn't really happen. But in the Archie panel, someone said, would you ever want to do Afterlife with Sonic or Afterlife with Mega Man? And he said, you just reminded me that I need to stalker call Capcom and Sega for the rest of my life again to keep trying to make that happen.
Because he had tried before.
He has been trying to make it happen since they came up with the idea to do it with Archie. And pretty much his response was like, yo, make everybody you know buy Afterlife with Archie so that Capcom and Sega have to do it.
Yeah. And that's another thing is like, they're like, please keep reading Sonic and Mega Man.
Well, and that was the other thing I was going to say, dude. Like, every single person listening to this podcast, if you have never bought a Sonic comic book or a Mega Man comic book, please go buy 12, because I will have children one day, and I want to make sure those comics are still around for them to read. Because the way those guys were talking was like, single person in this room does not buy this comic on Wednesday, there won't be another one. And even when we talked to them afterwards, like one-on-one, they were very much like, keep buying those comics. Yeah.
The last thing that, I was the last person to ask a question out of the three of us, and I asked them what, either A, they wanted to see in terms of people making cosplays of their characters, or B, cool cosplays that they've done, and they talked about how, like, they saw a guy, dressed as the crocodile from Sonic, and, they said they saw one that was dressed as, the Sphinx guy from Mega Man? Fairman. And then I mentioned the little kid who had the amazing Mega Man costume.
They said that unequivocally, of course they're kind of biased.
Yeah.
That Mega Man fans have like
the best
cosplay.
Yeah. Especially the Buster you saw that spun on the inside.
That's what Cox was talking about.
Yeah, and so that kind of leads us into the cosplay we saw.
He said if anybody ever shows up as a buff version of Rotor the Walrus, that he's just gonna quit. Because then his life will be finished.
All right. Everything I want, complete.
Life goal, get buff, dress up like Rotor.
Yeah.
I'd be like, you remember me, bro? Heroes Con 2014.
Just in blue face paint, looking like Wilford Brimley.
Yeah.
So, we had some really cool cosplays.
Just some great cosplay.
I'm just going to talk about two for me.
Eddie.
Well, Eddie coming as the Deepooly, Gangster Deadpool.
Oh, so good.
With an SD card boombox.
He had a ghetto blaster that you could Bluetooth your phone up to.
Yeah, and he would just like crank up, jump around.
And fucking like
send down the boombox and start jumping
and like fucking crunk music and fucking trap music and shit. It was amazing. And my favorite costume of the entire time we were there was this girl in a fucking Harley costume.
Dude.
Not because it was skanky, because it wasn't.
It was
perfect.
Awesome.
It was perfect.
It was BTAZ spot on canon.
Like, it was amazing. The hammer was huge and perfect and, like, not overdone. It was, like, the right size. And her dad came up to me when I was, like, I walked up to her and I was like, yo, your costume, done. Just beautiful. And her dad comes up and he goes, yeah, that's actually all just our, like, I had 6 months of free time and nothing to do, and, like, it's all scrap material. They actually carved faces into, or, like, they carved grenades with faces on them.
Like, happy faces.
With Joker faces in
them. Yeah, that's awesome.
And, her hammer had, like, Harley and Puddin' Forever carved
into
it. And
the other side's your face here.
Yeah, and it was just amazing.
You guys fucked up with not having a camera.
We had a camera. We didn't have anybody take pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were a little too busy walking around networking.
We got a handle.
But I did get that guy's number, and I have texted him. So,
all right.
And they're starting up a...
it's like a charity.
It's a charity. It's, and
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's Heroes R Us is what they called it.
That's awesome.
And it's basically, from what he told me, it's a way to, like, get kids involved in the community of comic books and stuff, but also to, like, give back to the community.
That's cool.
So that was my favorite costume that I saw. other than, of course, Keenan as Jesse from
Preacher. Yeah, that was, Keenan's was fucking fantastic.
I need that picture, too. That's...
my favorite two. I saw two, one on the show floor and then one outside, because they probably weren't going to let this girl inside, but...
Oh, my God. Yeah, I know which one you're talking
both
about.
Both of mine are females. I didn't see a whole lot of outstanding...
male cosplay.
That Thor costume was...
That Thor costume was baller.
Older Thor or yeah. Keenan's friend?
Old guy Thor.
Old guy Thor, yeah. That was good.
Because they made those breastplates.
I saw a really, 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 really good Carol Danvers Miss Marvel. Like,
yep. I remember seeing her.
Yeah. And she was like built like Carol Danvers, like kind of a curvier woman. Like it was spot on, perfect. Hair was awesome. And then I saw the lieutenant from Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex while we were standing outside.
Yeah.
And I'm a red-blooded American male. She was fucking stunningly beautiful, and the costume was just perfect.
It was the perfect costume.
Yeah.
Like, that little strip that just covers her ass crack in the cartoon.
Yeah. I knew you're
talking legit
about.
Same way.
I actually know what that is.
Yeah.
But I'm fairly certain they didn't.
They weren't going to let her in.
It's a family con. Yeah. Like, I think the girl...
It's like a PG-13 con.
The girl who was dressed as Psylocke barely got in, and the girl dressed as Carol Danvers probably had some, like, stick-em on her unitard to get in. But, I mean, congrats to everybody who had the guts to go out and cosplay.
Absolutely.
Like, seriously.
Well done to everyone.
Well done to everybody.
Including Neckbeard Batman.
Neckbeard Batman was awesome.
That was actually...
Yours?
That was pretty amazing. No, that wasn't... I don't really have any that I'm, like, sticking out.
And shout out to the 501st
yes.
Carolina Garrison. Those guys were... fantastic. I got to see a Blast Tech blaster,
yep.
Like, made out of metal, like...
I got to see a zombie head inside of a broken trooper helmet.
Yeah.
That was cool.
We never got a picture inside the trash compactor.
Well,
We talked about it on the recap, and then we talked about it the next day. We didn't even get to do the fucking droid hunt.
We were in the panel.
Yeah.
Speaking of my friend Keenan,
yep.
Our friend Keenan, we had to pick up Keenan to go to the con... And so we were like, yeah, man, let's get some breakfast. And we were going
to
go to
We stopped to get cigarettes first.
No,
we
didn't.
We got cigarettes after.
So we're like, we're going to go to Bojangles. I was like, fuck yeah. $2 for $3.
To be fair, this is the first time I've been to Bojangles and gotten something that wasn't a Boberry biscuit. I've literally never gotten anything from Bojangles
before. It's the first time you've been there since you started eating meat again, right?
Yeah. In fact, it was not only that, but it was, like, literally the first time I got actual food from Bojangles.
But, we're like, let's go through the drive-thru, and we're like, let's just...
Go
inside. Drive-thru's pretty long, let's go inside.
Four of us.
Thank God we did.
Oh, no shit.
We all get our food.
I hadn't gotten my food
You hadn't gotten your food yet.
I was standing there waiting for my food.
Okay, to preface this, right before I order, I run outside to get my wallet out of my bag that's in the trunk. When I do this, I hear ridiculous loud, like, 1990s techno music. And I turn my head, and there's this, like, middle-aged white guy driving a Euro van.
It's a murder van.
No, because it has that raised top, the one that slants.
Oh, it was a conversion van.
Yeah, it was a conversion van. And, like, he pulls up, and, like, I just look at him, and I'm like, and my immediate thought is, this is probably bad. Like, I don't know why I thought that. No idea. I just looked at him and I was like, I just had an uncomfortable feeling. Colin, continue.
Well, Chris is standing there and all I hear is, just give me my goddamn money back! I don't have time for this shit! And me, Keenan, Alex, just stop.
I've got a bowl of chicken, and I'm like, it's halfway to my mouth, and I just go, huh?
My food is now on the counter next to this guy, and I'm stepping back away from my food.
Yeah, and Chris is just like, he's got his cup in his hand, and it, like, I can see his other hand going up, and that non-threatening, like, hey man, I just want some chicken. The guy is screaming at him. The manager comes over. The manager is trying to be very polite. And
very well put together black guy.
Yeah, like, very nice. And then the next thing you hear is the white guy goes, fuck your mama. And then the black guy goes, fuck your mama. I'm like, oh, shit.
Guy slams his fist down on the counter.
And look.
He keeps saying, like, I want, he's like.
This is good as cash.
This is as good as cash.
Just
give
me
cash back now.
And he's like, no, we already refunded it. He's like, I know you didn't refund it because you got to slap my card again.
I don't have time for this.
He kept screaming, I don't have time for this bullshit. And then he starts screaming at the manager like, you got to, faggot. Like, just screaming the most.
It was bad.
The only thing he didn't say was the N-word. That's pretty much what
he said. Which he knew, I could gather, he knew what part of Charlotte he was in.
Yeah,
dude, that manager kept his cool.
For so long!
So long, and then all of a sudden...
Well, that just... And then he finally leaves. The white guy leaves.
And everybody's just like, talking to each other. You know, when stuff like that happens, the whole restaurant just kind of looks at people you don't even know, and you're like,
you cool? You good?
Keenan was like, yo, dude, like, if anything happened, we all had you. Don't worry about it. Like, and we were going to get up.
The next thing, we sit there.
I got my food.
We just got his chicken. We're all reflecting. I'm eating a country ham biscuit, enjoying it, drinking my coffee.
We're like, man.
That was fucking crazy.
If this was the internet, that guy would come back.
And then he did. He walked back inside.
15 minutes later.
Oh, yeah.
He walks in, and right after screaming over and over, I don't have time for this bullshit.
He comes back.
So he does have time for this.
So apparently he has a lot of time.
Wait, did we figure out what this was all about?
I did
before,
figure it out.
After
he came back. He comes back in, and he sits, or and he gets over to the counter, and he's very calm again. He's very calm, he's about to try to do it, and then the manager comes over, and the manager goes, no, you gotta leave, and then he loses it again. Just out of nowhere.
Fuck you, faggot!
And then he
throws everything that's on the counter except the computers. He's swinging back behind the counter, like napkins and condiments and silverware. Like,
and then we go back through... Fuck your mama. Fuck your mama.
And then
your mama.
And then he says, why are you talking about my mama?
Yeah, he says...
Who said that?
The guy says, fuck your mama. And he's like, fuck your mama. And then he's like, how are you going to talk about my mama?
And then he said both your mommy and your daddy was faggots. That was
Which
funny.
Makes no sense.
Like,
and then Keenan actually for a second went to correct him, and then he was like,
So
Keenan's taking a video of the second event.
And he actually
second
did both.
Encounter.
He did both.
Oh yeah, because he sent me two videos.
And he so then like this thing all.
Why aren't they on the internet?
Well, they will be.
They will be.
Okay.
Because I'm gonna put them on WorldStar.
Because I need
and
to see
the
these.
WordPress. Vapor Lodge.
Sorry, I went over to the table that the manager was talking at.
Oh yeah, the manager comes back out.
This is after they were this close to each other.
Oh dude, like this guy's swinging his hand so far, we thought he was going to hit him in the face on accident,
and
then this dude would have been fucking done.
The white guy said, bring your black ass outside, I'm going to beat the shit out of you.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
And then the manager's like, I get off at 5 o'clock, just stay here.
Because he's professional and he wants to stay on his job.
Yeah.
Which is a professional thing to do.
To kick your ass after work.
After I get off of work, I'm going to beat the brakes off of you. But right now, these nice people need chicken. So
I'm going to turn black after 5 o'clock.
Right now, I am in an indiscriminate race, but afterwards, I will be a black guy.
Afterwards, the manager
ass.
Comes out, he's like, I'm so sorry, guys. Like,
is everybody okay?
I hope you guys are fine. Like, I never freak out on anybody like that.
And we're like, bro.
And then Wyatt Happen comes out.
This is the worst.
The dude apparently
We thought he was trying to scam him.
Yeah. The dude came in, and he asked for a cup of water, and the girl rang him up for a water cup. The manager comes over... And he goes, you actually don't need to pay for water. We can give you this cup. And so he tries to undo the transaction. So the manager's on this guy's side. And then all
trying
of a sudden,
help the guy.
Trying to help the guy not have to pay for a cup of water.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the guy just fucking loses it. Out of nowhere.
I mean, this dude was mething around.
Like, it just...
Like,
over like
mething
a
around.
Quarter. On his credit card.
And like, I just looked at the manager and I was like, no. Like, no
There's
way.
There's something else behind
like,
this.
That's not... You're just kidding right now. There's no way that... And he goes, no, really. Like, that's what happened. And I was just like, guys, that guy won and lost the internet today. Like,
yeah. I just stuck my head out the door before we left and, like, just looked for Murder Van.
Oh, dude, yeah. Colin was like, don't go outside yet. Just wait.
I don't want to... Well, like, we're sitting there, like, laughing at this guy because it's impossible not to.
I was
like, fuck, this guy's going to flip out on us because we're laughing at him. Like,
I wish you would have come over to the table because four white guys in the middle of a Bojangles in the middle of the hood part of
the hood Charlotte part of Charlotte,
because we were the only white people in the restaurant other than like two old folks in the back and fucking Crazy McMethhead. And like, and it would have been so funny if this guy's just losing it at like the black manager, and then he says one thing to the table full of four white guys, and we just were like, nope, done, and we just beat the piss out of him in the middle of the restaurant. Like,
anybody see him fall? You see him fall? You see him fall?
So then we go
outside.
I saw
him trip over five chairs. That was weird.
It's weird how this knife fell into him over and over again.
I told him to stop. He just said, fuck your mama. And just kept.
And he just kept falling on my knife. I just, but no, so afterwards we get in the car and we need smokes. So like we go to the gas station down the road and we walk in and Keenan buys cigarettes, I buy cigarettes, Chris buys cigarettes. I've got mine, Keenan's got his. Chris has his first. Colin is about to get his. He's paying for his at the moment. Me and Keenan are standing there packing cigarettes. And then the girl who's handing Colin his cigarettes starts packing Colin's cigarettes.
And I'm just like, I did that thing where I'm like reaching for it and she just starts doing this.
And she goes, oh, I just wanted to do it too. And I was
Colin
like,
Colin doesn't pack his cigarettes.
And yeah, Colin doesn't
pack
his cigarettes.
I'm not against it. I just don't.
But he just doesn't do it. And so like we start laughing.
Can we say that?
Yeah, and she goes, and she starts like, she's like, oh, I'm sorry. I was like, no, please keep doing it.
And
she goes,
okay.
And she just keeps packing them. And I turn to Colin and I go, suck it, Colin. Suck it, Colin. Like, and I say it kind of loud. And, like, everybody's laughing and having a good time. And,
I'm,
like,
I'm cracking up.
Yeah, like,
hilarious.
Both girls behind the counter are laughing. One of the other dudes in the place is laughing. And so we all get our cigarettes and we're walking out. And this buff white guy at an ATM about 10 feet from the door is getting money out. He's got a sleeveless shirt on with, like, a couple tattoos. And he's standing there like this. And we walk to the double doors. And as they're sliding open, the guy pulls his card out and turns and goes, suck it, Colin.
And I was just like,
and I was like, guys, you know the guy that just won the internet at Bojangles? This guy beat him. Like, it was a perfect moment.
It was.
Like, it was.
And so that was all over the course of like an hour between Bojangles and the gas station.
Yeah. And it just, the big thing that kind of sold me on it was the fact that, like, I was like, there is no fucking way in the entire world that this day can get any weirder. And it did kind of continue to get weirder, but not until later on. But that was before we actually hit the floor.
That was even before we got to the
con. Yeah, that was before we got to the con. So the Archie panel was the first thing we did when we got there.
No, we walked the floor for a while first.
For a minute, yeah. But then, you know, we got to see, I guess we'll name drop, that'll come later. Zolo and Mike is next.
We got to see Bo.
We got to see Bo and Rock.
They were not drinking that day.
No. Well, not much.
Not yet.
Which
not
we
yet.
Went out to dinner with them Friday night.
Yeah,
and that
was super
just,
fun.
That was
great.
That was just great time. They, and if you guys are listening to this, thank you so much
yes,
for your company. It was
absolutely.
Great.
That and then that day on the floor was when we got to record our interview with
Brett Michael Watkins
and Todd Davis and Bryn Oliver, who is doing our promo shots for. We don't have an album, so or whatever. Our promo shots
for our album. Collection of podcasts we sell for money.
Yeah, and so, but like we got to see some pretty cool people that day. We went and bought some stuff from Kevin at the Stormcrow booth.
Yeah,
I got the
Walking Dead compendium 2 for $25.
Nice. I picked up. Both of or
you
two
got
of
genital
the saga.
Monsters on your...
I got genital monsters
on
draw on my M theory, but that was on Sunday.
Oh no, I thought that said.
But I also got Jeremy Dale to draw Martian Manhunter getting rained on by Oreos on my Justice League United #0 blank cover, and at the bottom it says Sweet Rain, and it was the best $75 I've ever spent, Let's see who else. Janet Lee, we got to see her. That was fun.
We got
to see.
Who was the girl that went to dinner with us on Friday night?
Bridget.
Let's go ahead and get into
that night's dinner.
Oh yeah. And then all of the trying to find the Hilton and stuff.
Let's get into.
We'll get into what we did. We went. after the con floor, after we did the interview with Michael Watkins and Todd.
We tried to find the Hilton Friday night.
We tried to find the Hilton Friday night.
That was after. That was after. We can talk about that.
That was after dinner. That was
after dinner
with Brock, Bo.
Brock, Bo, and Bridget. With the bees.
With the three.
So we went to. There were two Hiltons, right? And there was an after party at the one Hilton.
We went to the wrong one first, and this is where the NASCAR Hall of Fame comes in.
Yeah.
And this is fuck Chris. This is I'm giving these guys all of the credit for this to Chris because none of us noticed. Except Chris. So we're walking by the NASCAR Hall of Fame to get to the Hilton that we think the drink and draw
is. And the NASCAR Hall of Fame is right next to the convention center.
And then, that's the one that Cheryl Tree and there's that.
Yeah.
So Chris, why don't you tell us what this is all about?
So we're going by the NASCAR Hall of Fame and they have this giant Megatron, just gaudy-ass Megatron, like up for whatever reason. And they have a
yelling
sign.
Starscream.
Yeah, and it says on the Megatron. Oh, what was it? What was the first one we saw? It said
it was the heroes thing with capes.
It said our heroes,
your heroes.
No, it says capes ? Our heroes wear fire suits.
And we're like, what? Like, first of all, if we're talking about Johnny Storm or Ghost Rider, they both wear fireproof suits.
Yeah.
First of all. Second of all, you're telling me that your quote-unquote heroes are better than ours because they're susceptible to fire? And then there was just a series, as you walk around, they have all of these posters.
They're flame ads.
That are just, like, bashing the Heroes Convention. And it said, like here every day is a hero superhero convention.
And we're like, I don't know if you're trying to mock me or get me to come to your museum, but...
Yeah, dude!
The way that I looked at it, I was like, this to me looks like a flame campaign, which says that you want to alienate the 150,000 people that could be possible entrants to your museum, and you're just telling all of them to go fuck themselves.
It really felt like the high school, like, jocks versus nerds thing.
Because definitely, like, if they'd have been like, seriously, come check out some of the cool stuff these can do, is these things... These guys can do as human beings, like, incredible hand-eye coordination, their ability to, like, see things ahead, like, I would have been like, ah, fuck it, cool.
And I said, why didn't they just, because they had a big car, like, upright in front of the window, and I'm like, dude, if that car just had a big Superman logo on the hood, they would have made so much money, dude.
Yeah.
So much money.
But they decided to go with the alienation rather than...
We've got pictures of that, I'll check it out.
So NASCAR, go fuck yourself.
Yes.
Go home, you're drunk. We
came up with a lot of Brock puns.
We did. We got a lot of Brock puns. And that actually came the night... Friday night with
after
us being drunk and
stuff. Yeah,
drunk.
You dropped a couple on the recording.
Yeah, like, I dropped one or two because I said, I was like, I just want to drop shore leave Brock puns, like Brock Ness Monster and Brock of Ages and Brock Lobster.
My favorite two were I said Dr. Broctopus,
yeah,
which Brock really liked. And then I also looked at Colin because we're just like sleep drunk giggly. I looked at Colin, I said...
It was 20 minutes of Brock puns, man.
I looked at Colin, I said, yo, what's your favorite kind of ice cream? And he said... Brocky Road.
and I was like, man, we just kept going with this. And I, at one point in time, I just looked up and I was like, guys, I don't know, man, if we do this to him tomorrow, he might be stuck between a Brock and a hard place. And like, we did it for like 20 minutes. And I kept, like, I was so sleep drunk that I kept going, no, seriously, last one. And then I'd do one, and then like 3 minutes later, I'd be like, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. No, seriously, that's the last one. And I did that like 5 times.
I can't even remember some of the ones I did.
Oh, we did so many.
It was good.
Your first one was broccoli.
That was
the fibrous vegetable.
The fibrous vegetable.
He definitely appreciated it though.
He did.
Just, like,
he did.
Every time we saw him, like the whole next day, we'd be like, yo, what's up? Like,
I started it off with Brock Ness Monster.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I like that.
I like that.
But, so it was a whole lot of Brock puns, but that night after day two of the panel...
We went to the auction.
We went to meet up with Mary, Jamike, and Zolo.
And Zolo.
Oh, yeah.
As you guys have probably heard, one of my best friends that doesn't do the podcast with us is a guy named John Michael Kalkak. I mean, because you guys are my best friends, but I also have, like, one
other best friend.
No, I was going to say, it's just funny how you...
Jamike.
Yeah. John Michael is... I call him Jamike. And he was in town in Charlotte to help a client. He does IT work, so he was setting up some stuff for a client, like running wire and stuff. And we were staying with my friend Marianne, who is a really good friend of me and Jamike, and our friend Anthony Zolo, who went to high school with me and Jamike, or with me, Jamike, and Colin, and Mary.
But I didn't really know Zolo because I was a little bit too
old.
I
feel like there were a lot of really bizarre, like, random meetups with people we knew that were kind of around.
Well, like, for some reason, in the first 10 minutes of us being on the con floor on Friday, we saw, like,
everybody
we knew.
And then we were like, oh, well, we don't have to be here anymore.
Yeah, let's go to other places. Like, fuck it. So we went and we got dinner at Fujo, which
I don't fucking recommend.
It's a little pricey for how
it's
mediocre
fucking,
it is.
Like, Chang Tai blows it out of fucking water.
It was
half
like
the price.
Worse than the Chinese food I got from the place down the corner that cooks cats.
Yeah, it's not great.
Just so happened to be central and where we needed to be.
Well, I think it was probably kind of pricey because it was in the Hilton that everybody was staying at.
Dude.
I will say this: the sushi was good.
Good, but I mean, my Thai fried rice was like, why isn't it? His fried rice is brown, mine is white. And then I asked for a side of brown sauce, and she brought me a soup bowl of brown sauce. And she handed it to me, and she was like, here. I was like, ah! It was on fire.
So we met up with them, and Anthony Zolo is my buddy from high school who does...
he's a colorist.
He's a colorist and inker, and he's really talented. So we meet up, and, like, the one really weird, funny story that kind of came out of this was Jamike has been straight-edge and vegan for about...
15 years?
No, it's been, like, 6, 7.
It's
been, like, 6 or 7 years, and then, like...
The guy's, like, 25.
Yeah.
15 years would be, like...
He's 10. He's 26.
Sorry, 15 years for me is, like, 13, so...
Anyway, but he, Like, basically, right after we got out of high school, he was vegan, or he was straight edge and then vegan, and he's been like that. And we sit down, and he turns to me, and he puts his hand on me before he orders, and he goes, Fulmer, I'm sorry. Don't be mad at me. Don't be mad at me. I was like, what? Why are you... Don't be mad at me, Fulmer. I was like, why would I... Don't be mad at me. He kept interrupting me.
He was having a kid or
something. And he kept saying, don't be mad at me, and he goes, I'm going to get chickens. I was like, what? And he goes, I'm not vegan anymore. And I was like... Good for you. Like, I didn't care. Like, it was a little surprising.
And then he said, I'm going to eat some bok box.
Jamike is a really funny, but, like, understated funny kind of guy.
He says something, he means it, and it's going to be fucking funny.
Yeah, he's very good at finding the appropriate moment.
What are you talking about after he got fat, what his tattoo looks like now? Because Jamike has an entire
torso piece that's a wolf with an Indian headdress. And it is tough. It is badass. It is awesome.
He showed me the line work when we went to Coheed, and I was just like, ugh!
Dude, it is amazing. And then he was like, it looks like a retarded gorilla now. Yeah. I got fat, and it just doesn't look like a wolf. It just looks like a gorilla that doesn't think everything all the way through.
Can I interject with an observation real quick?
Sure.
The only reason we keep Jeff around is to have a live studio audience.
Yeah.
Because we're all just sitting here talking to Jeff.
Well, he wasn't there. I mean, we were texting Jeff. When I was texting Jeff, like, Jeff, you're making poor life decisions. He's like, no, I'm not.
I get pictures of beer.
And this is what you missed.
Jeff,
it was worth going. Yeah.
When we got beer at the Drink and Draw, as corny as this is, they had little stickers that said bang and boom and pow.
I got a Green Lantern cocktail at the Drink and Draw.
That's pretty cool, though.
It was delicious, but only liquor in it was Malibu. I was sitting there, Tanya was like, what did you get? I was like, I got that cocktail. She was like, is there anything in it? I was like, Malibu. And just fucking chugged it.
So after we got dinner,
Saturday night,
Mary and Jamike went back to Mary's house, and Zolo, took us over to the charity art auction where he had a piece, but his piece went in the silent auction.
Do you know how much it went for?
He does not know.
Okay.
They probably won't tell him.
That
sucks, man. That's part of the reason you do that.
Yeah. It was really cool to go in and see, like, all the different things that, you know, because you don't have to be... You don't have to have a booth or be famous to donate. You just have to have a drawing that you want to give. And, like, I made a joke about how I wanted to just, like, one year I just wanted to draw a poo with smiley face and, like, hands and, like, donate that as the art auction thing just as, like, a joke. But I'm not actually going to do that. But
yeah, you should have a poo holding hands with Ben Savage, and then it can be Winnie the Pooh.
That's so terrible.
That's worse than the Brock puns. But, yeah, it was fun to go in and see all of people's artwork and stuff, and I got to talk to Zolo about, like, who's... Stop it, Jeff!
Made me write that.
They're going to talk about
it. The teleprompter just keeps blinking the words, drink prices.
And
it was really cool to...
doing this.
So it was really cool to just kind of see, like, whose work was there and like how much everybody's stuff.
It was
like
really
good stuff.
Really cool stuff. Man.
Especially
because if I had like $1,200 to drop on that John Romita Jr. painting at Gwen Stacy, I would be
dude. There was
there.
The cool while we were there, the most expensive piece went for $2,800.
And what's really cool is all that stuff was drawn
over the weekend.
Drawn over like less around 24 hours.
Well, it wasn't even all drawing. Like I said, like his was a watercolor painting.
Yeah, but his had been done. I mean, it didn't have to be done over that weekend.
Oh,
but the big name people did them that weekend. Dude, the Poison Ivy with all the shimmer shit, that was clearly
I kept looking for a Tim Sale piece. I don't know if Tim Sale did one for the auction.
I know that Jeremy didn't get his in.
I know I kept looking at Tim Sale, but I never got to meet him, and that sucks because I was too nervous and I didn't have anything for him to sign.
Yeah.
So Chris and I are walking around. We all sort of lose each other at the auction. I'm like, fuck it. Because
you had to go back and get your backpack.
I had to go back to Fujo and get my backpack. And
what's it look like? A backpack?
The girl at the restaurant, I called and was like, hey, I left my backpack there. I literally just had dinner. She's like, oh, cool, what's it look like? A backpack? I was like, oh yeah, we got it.
Why'd you ask?
Then why'd you fucking ask?
He said, it's a JanSport backpack, what do you think it looks like? Those are his exact words.
I'm a dick. But we get back, and I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to grab a beer. Like, I just need something, just, you know, kind of get loose, enjoy myself, talk to people. And I walk up to the cash bar, and it says, domestic beers, $7. And I was like, the fuck?
And then craft beers were what, 13?
Import were 9, wine was 13, and martinis were 20.
Were these for bottles?
Yeah, domestic bottles.
Jesus
12-ounce domestic
Christ.
Bottles. 12-ounce, like, premium bottles.
That's insane.
So what do you pay for a six-pack?
Yeah, and I was like, I can wait. Because we were going to go to see Keenan at Soul Gastro Lounge.
Oh, wait, you guys need to tell about when you guys were sitting charging your phones.
Oh, yeah, Chris and I, like, needed to charge our phones, so we found this quiet little corner away from everybody, out of the way, on a bench, by the bathrooms. And we're just sitting there. Chris is looking up shit on his iPad. I'm reading my book.
This is the first time we have simultaneously had internet and a charger.
At the same time.
And, like, all weekend almost.
Yeah. And so we're just sitting there, relaxing, just taking a minute because we've been on our feet all day. And so I'm reading, and I just see somebody just come, like, right here in front of me. I'm not really especially paying attention. For all I know, they're waiting for somebody who's in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And then then I get that
feeling,
like...
This guy, like, kind of, like, stops and just, like, looks at us for, like...
A second?
About a minute?
And then, like, I kind of do this, and then I kind of look back down, and he's looking right at us.
I acknowledge his acknowledgement, and then immediately just
well, it was
back
weird.
Away.
It was weird. It was like, man, like, I can't look at you because you're looking right at me, and if I look at you, we'll be making eye contact.
And that's a social contract that we have to speak, and I'm clearly doing something. And he's like, hey, guys, like, what's up, man? What you doing? I was like, oh, man, we're just charging our phones. He was like, oh, cool. And then just walked away.
Because, like, at first I was like, are we in trouble for something? Like,
I think he just thought you guys were lonely.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it was, especially because, like, with the whole, like, Colin, like, making eye contact and pulling away, I think this guy was just trying to be like, okay, we're at a nerd convention. Like, these guys are probably just, like, self-isolating.
Yeah.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
I want to make sure they're still having a good time and not just, like...
My phone actually died there as well. And they had they had basically pinup boards all around the auction area in the convention room.
For all
and,
the art, so you could see
yeah,
it before it would auction.
And so they'd take the things down off the pin boards, and there was an outlet behind the pin boards, and the pin boards are about 4 feet off the wall. Or about, I guess, 2 to 3 feet,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, something like that.
So I crawled underneath it, and...
This is
underneath,
that
like, tens of thousands of dollars worth.
No. This, they were off of this.
Okay.
They were all, like, I waited until all of the pieces of art were
but
off
still
of
in a hotel ballroom full of people.
Yeah, and I crawl underneath it and I plug my phone in, and all the girls that are walking around showing the pieces, almost all of them are in Wonder Woman costumes.
Like Ring Girl.
Yeah, like Ring Girl Wonder Woman costumes. And I'm sitting there, and the board is down about, like, in between my thighs, and it's about at, like, chest level. And it just covers from my... Hold on. It covers from my chest up, and it's about a foot and a half off of my chest. So my legs are sticking out with tattoos and shit. And, like, I'm just sitting there, and the girl with the... She has the painting in her hand. In her hands. And she comes over, and I see her feet stop. She bends over, and she goes... That's a terrible hiding place. I can totally see you. and she smiles and winks and then walks off. And I was like, Wonder Woman wants it. Like, I was like, all right, cool. Like, kudos to you
didn't
for
we,
saying
isn't
that.
Isn't this also the weekend you got told, like, how beautiful you've got a good smile? Or wait.
I no, that was free comic book day. I got
that
hit
was free
on
comic book day.
All the yeah. time. I got
no,
hit on constantly.
Great is in your hiding spot, had every time she walked by, you just kind of licked it like, m'lady.
Yeah.
Also, Yale Stewart in a full suit, smoking a cigar with a fancy-ass highball, is perhaps one of the most badass things I have seen in a long time.
What was really cool is we walked by, and I did a double take, and I was like, oh, what's up, Yale?
Yeah, like, we just walked by him, and bro gets real loose when he's been drinking. Like,
In a good way.
Not, like, because the problem was that, like, that I had talking to Yale originally was he's a very awkward kind of sheltery person. Yeah. Like, he doesn't really...
He's a typical cartoonist.
Yes. I mean... He's type B. He's very type B.
Like, cartoonists are to themselves. Like, yeah. I'll get into Bill Watterson in a minute. Like,
I talk to people by... drawing these social commentaries.
And he's like, he doesn't have a syndicator to talk to, so he doesn't answer to anybody.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a boss.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he's very much inside of his own head. But we walked by, and I was like, what's up, Yale? And he was like, oh, hey, man.
Yeah.
How are you guys? And I was like...
He remembered all three of us.
We're good. Cool. We're really good. He was like, I was like, how's your con? He's like, fantastic. So, Prince, having a good night. How about you guys? You having a good time at the con? And we're like... Yeah.
we're having a blast, dude.
He's in like a three piece, upwards $800 suit, if not more.
Drinking a highball that I know for a fact couldn't have been less than fucking like $30.
Dude, it's like
staying in a hotel that costs like
rocks glass, no ice.
Hundreds of dollars a night.
Well, you get con price when you stay.
Bro, but even still, just like,
and he's got a fat fucking cigar. And he's just holding it there, and I'm just like, when did Don Corleone get here, and what did you do with Yale Stewart?
Like, it was just funny, too, because it kind of illustrated to me, like, you can tell talking to people, like, even talking to, like, Brock and Bo and Bridget, who are not nearly quite on that level yet, like, these are people who are kind of like, you know, like, they're living okay, but comfortable at best, and, like, even the guys who were, like, really
dude,
doing it.
Brock and Bo were
still,
like, we have real jobs, guys.
Yeah.
Like,
even people like Matt Fraction, like, yeah, he lives, like, really comfortable, but he's still kind of, like, middle class at best, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's just funny, because you could totally tell, like, this is Yale Stewart in the position where he can be hot shit, taking full advantage of the fact that, like, I'm here, people know who I am.
He does JLA plus all the commission work he does.
Yeah.
Like, he's pretty well off. He was like, all right, well, it was like, well, we're going to go, we got to go.
But that's what I'm
saying,
though. It's like, he's well off, but he's not nearly the level of, like, drinking $30 highballs and smoking fat cigars every day.
He's just like, fuck it. And we were like, all right, man, well, we got to take off because we got to go meet a buddy of mine. He works pretty close to here. And he was like, cool, stop by the booth tomorrow. And we were like, okay.
And we didn't.
We didn't.
We'll get to that.
We meet up, my buddy Keenan, we had to end up taking him back to work, and he was like, we'll hook you up when you bring me back to work, and just come by Seoul whenever you guys get done. Because
his manager was at the con and told him to just hang out and find a ride, and he was like, oh, my friends can take me. He's like, cool deal, I wasn't sure you were going to be able to make it in, I'll make sure they get the hookup when they get there.
Yeah. So we get there, and Keenan's like, sit here, I'll be right back. Comes back, he's like, cool, here's what the deal is, here's a $50 card. We were like, all right. Like,
fantastic. I was like, all right, well, I'll get something to eat and, you know, a round of drinks, like, whatever.
So we all do that. We get Keenan recommended. We didn't get anything Keenan recommended. Sorry, bro.
No, I think he sort of recommended the nachos.
Sort of, yeah. We told him
that was pretty good, though.
Yeah. We got Dirty South Nachos, which is fried chicken skins, jalapeno pickled okra, and pimento cheese dip.
Chris said, there's only three things in the world that I don't eat. And Colin was going down the menu, picking things out, and Chris was like, no.
Hate it.
No.
Hate it.
No.
Hate
it. Mushrooms, black olives, and cucumbers. And that's important.
And those are the only three things on the whole menu that Chris will not eat. And Colin goes, how about this one?
I didn't pick out anything with mushrooms.
No. The mushrooms are important. Oh, and I'm allergic to feta cheese.
Yeah.
I picked out things with feta cheese.
I'm allergic to mold, apparently. That's a new thing.
But anyway, we got Dirty South Nachos, which was the fried chicken skin.
But the reason that this is important is because Fulmer gets a plate of French fries. And I'm thinking they're like garlic parmesan fries. So I take one and pop it in my mouth.
There are garlic, there is parmesan.
Turns out they're truffle fries. And so I immediately get the worst taste of mushroom in my mouth ever, to which I reach for my water and take a big sip, only to realize that there's cucumber in it.
Double whammy.
And he's just gonna, like, it's like that moment of terror, like, which one is worse? Which one is worse?
So anyway, we have a fucking blast there. Chris and I decide that we're gonna
page 42.
We're gonna page 42, and that's where the night ends.
Yeah.
Assume.
Yeah, we're not gonna.
That's where Colin's memory of the night.
No, I remember everything.
That's impressive. I'm not sure I remember everything.
I remember every damn thing. But
basically, since it's relevant to what's happening after this, we partied until like 9 a.m.
We were having a blast.
Throwing back drinks, having a great time, hanging out. Like,
I woke up
out in his garage so we could be as loud as we wanted to.
We were listening to metal, just having a blast.
Awesome.
I wake up at 10:30.
Comes and gets us.
I call Chris, or text Chris and call Chris, both, I think.
You texted and called
me. I called you. Phone was off. called Chris.
He's just up. Businessman.
And he's like, what's up?
Like,
I was like, are you just waking up? And he goes, mm-hmm. I was like, all right, cool. Be ready when I get there. And he goes, yep. And then I was like, text me the address. Okay.
He just hangs exactly
up. I'm like stumbling drunk, like with the worst hangover ever.
Chris
outside to read the number off the mailbox.
Yeah. Chris is still drunk and he sends me the address. I come out to get him. And I walk inside.
I'm trying to wake Colin up this entire time.
And like I get there and like I knock on the door and Chris answers like, yo, come here. And I was like, okay. And Colin, legs off of the couch, bent over sideways.
That. But like taking up the whole couch
somehow still.
Taking up
the whole couch with a blanket on only his stomach. Like, just, it's back and stomach.
It's like only covering where his t-shirt's pulled up, so it's just like a blanket, like, right here.
And I'm shaking Colin, get up. Colin, get up. And then
I grabbed his arm.
Before you grabbed his arm, he swung at me a couple times.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, and he just kept, like, fucking,
I Frankenstein.
Then I grab his arm, pick him up, and he swings at me, so I go to block with the arm I'm holding, and he just falls right back down, like, dead asleep again as soon as he hits the
and then we manage to shake him awake, and he gets up, and, like, he's clearly really cranky. And he just goes, God, like, 5 minutes of a long time?
And in this dude's living room!
And I look over at him, and I'm like, bro, you signed up for this? Like, are you fucking kidding?
And I was like,
and, like, he was just so mad, and I was like, me and Chris went out on the porch, and I was like, what the fuck happened? And he was just like, oh, we did, like, a bunch of fun stuff. Like, we drank until, like, 9 in the morning. And, like,
it was crazy.
It was crazy. I'm still drunk, but, like, apparently I'm functional, so. And
I
should like,
have never slept.
And I looked over, and I was like, well, that motherfucker is clearly not functional. And he gets outside, and I was like, Kyle, you want
to
sleep in the car? And he's got sunglasses on.
We got to ride in an Uber.
Yeah, we rode in an Uber.
Cool.
Yeah.
We rode in a Mercedes Uber.
But Colin has his sunglasses on, no expression on his face. You want to sleep in the car, Colin? And like we get in the car and he's in the front seat and he's just passed out in the front seat and like we're just having a conversation on the way to the car.
This is where I tell you to shut up.
And at one point in time you're like, shut up. And I was like, no, you signed up for this. You know what the deal is.
Yeah.
You page 42, you deal with the consequences.
Yeah.
And so we get there and I'm like, Connor, you're just gonna sleep in the car, and he goes, mm-hmm. And I give him the keys. And then we
also this
the
parking
car.
Deck
in
it's
the
like
parking
90
deck.
Degrees
it's,
in Charlotte.
It's dead
and the entire parking deck is like thick, like dryer
oh,
exhaust.
It was not
yeah.
today.
No,
okay.
But it's also the parking deck. The whole thing is a big exhaust vent for the
oh.
laundry room.
Yeah.
Oh.
I wake up a couple times and I'm just like.
Well,
the thing
like
is,
choices.
Is like I had sobered up quite a bit by a couple times I woke up, and I was just like, you know what?
But he was crankier than
I just
thought.
I had no, I would have just been walking across the show floor just
decking people.
So we went into the con, mm-hmm. me and Falmer did. I have blisters the size of Toledo on the bottom of my feet.
My feet were rough.
I felt so bad. I was like, Chris, I'm so sorry. He's like, let's just like stop and talk to somebody for a while. And I was like, okay. So like, you know, we hit up a couple people. We end up talking to Todd Davis for a while, and that's really fun.
And the best part is we're talking to people, we're networking, and like we're doing like hardcore business. And then all of a sudden they stop, they look at me after I told them about the night before. And they're like, "You're still drunk, aren't you?" Like, yeah, totally, man. Let's just keep talking.
Yeah, they had no idea until the fact that like they had been drinking until 8:30 in the morning,
and they probably realized like, wait, Colin's not here.
Yeah, and like, and Ryan Lusk, the owner of Burke Street Comics, I told him I was like, hey, I saw him the last day only, and I was like, hey, man, I thought I'd drop by and say hi, and he was like, cool, slap Colin for me when you see him, and I was like, oh, he's in the car, passed out drunk, and he goes. Yeah, hit him. It's like, all right, yeah, okay. So, but like...
We get back to Winston.
Also, well, for on. Everybody who heard the last episode that went up, Bryn and Mike made a kick me sign.
Oh my god!
That said, Colin, semicolon, suck
sucks.
It. That they were, sucks.
Sucks.
That
yeah.
they were going to slap on his back as he was walking by and see how long it stayed there.
He and like the funny thing was that I got a text from Bryn that morning and it said, how do you spell Colin's name? And I was like, two L's, no response. That's the only thing she sent me. But the only thing I really have to say about the comment or on the convention floor on Sunday that we can talk about is I got to finally meet David Peterson, creator of Mouse Guard.
Yeah.
I avoided him for Friday and Saturday.
Every time we walked by his booth, I was like, hey, man. Hey, Alex.
And I just,
look.
I couldn't do it. Friday because I was too tired. Saturday because we were too busy.
Are we going to say more about that?
It was just really nice to have somebody that was so receptive.
You got a lot of swag.
I did.
In, like, a free,
he
like,
threw in
print.
A free print that nobody else got that weekend for me. He signed the book and he did a very, very nice personalized sketch for me of one of the bats that he didn't do in anybody else's book, which was really cool. I really appreciated that.
That's cool.
Super nice guy, super friendly.
Did
like,
you get an email?
I have his email. Like, you can just email him whenever. But he lives in, like, Ann Arbor, Michigan. So.
Yeah, just Skype him.
We can be
yeah.
in Ann Arbor.
We could be in Ann Arbor. But anyway, Chris.
So, we leave the con. We were there for, like, a few hours talking business a little bit, catching up with some of the artists we get to see. Leave the con floor, get back to the car, and me and Fulmer are like, God, we feel miserable. We're conned out, covered
yeah.
in con funk, hungover. And this has been the most wonderful and terrible experience ever. We open the door to the car.
My asthma.
Oh, and it smells like rancid meat. And we're like, what the hell happened, dude?
Oh,
and it was
God.
Just Colin's...
Colin's
detox.
Funk.
Colin detoxing all over the car, dude.
I mean, also,
and
like
in
I
my
said,
brain, I was like, "This better get out in less than a week." My parents get home; it's their car.
Like let's be honest. It was everything I had eaten, plus the booze I was sweating out. Like,
oh, dude, it smelled like Colin shat himself,
which I didn't.
It was.
I checked when I got back to Winston.
it took you that
did
long
you get
to check?
Work on time?
I clocked in at 6:00.
Boom.
Nice.
And then my boss came in and was like, you were scheduled at 4:00. I was like, nope, cleared it with Bree.
And Aaron, 6 o'clock.
And then I just started making, I just picked up a service ticket and started rolling.
I left my phone in Palmer's car for 3 days after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dude, we were wrecked after the con.
I slept for 20 hours straight.
I slept for 18.
It was the most fun I've had. It felt like we were there for a week because we did so much. I don't think we missed anything we wanted to miss.
It was nice getting to see all kinds of people we don't get to see all the time.
Yeah.
And hang out with everybody.
Like, no offense to Ryan, we can go to Burke Street and see Ryan anytime we want. We don't get to see Eddie every day. We don't get to see Tanya every day. We don't get to see Brock and Bo. We don't get to see Jaren.
I hadn't gotten to see Janet in fucking, like,
almost
8 months?
Yeah.
Almost a year.
Yeah.
Oh, one thing. Next year, be on the lookout for us. We're going to be going to Heroes Con dressed up as old school press.
And let's go ahead and talk about Big Papa Sasquatch.
Yes. We have a new game from you guys.
If we ever mention that we're going to be at a con,
or making an appearance anywhere.
Making an appearance anywhere. The movies.
Yeah.
At Geeksboro hanging out.
You have to get at least two of us.
Yeah.
Be one. It has to be two of us.
If you can get a picture of both, like all three of us in the picture, or both of us in the picture.
This includes Jeff. If you can get
Jeff too.
So any combination of two of the four of us. If you can get half of us.
And I'll even put it out there. If you get the wombo combo of all four of us without us knowing at all.
You get everything.
Something good.
You get something good. You have to take a picture of us, but
we
cannot be aware of it until you tag us in it and post it on our Facebook or to our Twitter.
So you can't take the picture and be like, ha ha ha, I got you guys. Like, we cannot know until it hits the internet.
Until it hits the internet.
And you will get swag.
And you can tag it, at, you know, the name redacted on Facebook and hashtag Big.
But also,
you can throw it up on Instagram or Twitter, same
way.
Yeah.
But you have to say in it, I found Big Papa Sasquatch.
Hashtag Big Papa Sasquatch.
Yeah.
BIGPOPPA Sasquatch.
Yep.
Because I'm not spelling that.
Spelling counts.
Spelling counts.
Yeah.
We're
gonna have that. We're gonna have that Twitter feed. We're gonna find that hashtag, and if it's spelled wrong,
you know what? I think that about wraps it up.
Yep. Absolutely.
Good episode, guys.
Well, there's a lot of X's on that board.
Yeah,
we
got through everything.
Everybody, please, if you can, make it out to Heroes Con 2015. We will definitely see you there, and any other cons that you can make it out to. Thank you guys for listening, as always, and have a wonderful night. Colin?
Go out and touch some butts.